everybody happy to be here? Is anybody unhappy to be here? No? Nobody unhappy to? How about you, Venerable? 50-50. Okay, let's see if we can make it 60-40, maybe. Yeah, we'll try. I'll talk a little bit about happy being here today in this guided meditation. Because in a moment we'll be meditating for 45 minutes or so. I should say, if it's anybody's first time for meditation, then there is a beginner's class at the room to the right, if you go outside and then to the right. But if you are a little bit more experienced, then this is your place to be. So in meditation, I always say we try to find peace. Meditation is not about the method that we use, but about the results that we reach. If our meditation moves towards more peace, more awareness, more happiness, more stillness, all those good qualities, then our meditation is going in the right direction. And then it does not really matter what kind of a technique you use to reach those kind of states. You know, so many people here today, and you all have different states of mind walking into this hall. There's people watching online as well, and they're also, their minds are in different places. So it's hard to give like a general teaching about meditation that is perfectly applicable to each and every one of you right now today. But I'll try to teach something that might be useful to some of you. But if I teach anything you don't think it's useful, then just meditate in your own way later on. Anyway, I said about meditation that it is about finding peace. And one thing that always stands in the way of peace is our intention to think about the future, to plan things, to think about things, always to expect things in the future and try to be prepared for that. Who recognizes that? Yeah, that's so much suffering, isn't it? It's actually one of the reasons why I started meditating in my teens. In high school is because I was just thinking so much, and I was like, this is not useful, you know. I need to find a way to reduce this a little bit. And I did find a way, which was meditation. And I hope you also realize that you can find peace from lots of the thinking. Now, just yesterday I was reminded of how silly it sometimes is to prepare for the future by thinking. I'm staying not in Bodhinyana Monastery where Venerable is staying, but I'm staying for the moment in a little small monastery with only me and another monk in a Cambodian Buddhist society of Western Australia. And only very few people come there to visit every day to bring dana, which is very nice, you know. It's little small, you get direct contact with only a few people. It's not like Bodhinyana where there's 30 monks and maybe 100 people coming every day. And that's also nice. That's very inspiring, but it's nice also to have it really small. Just a few people, maybe one family comes to bring you food. And it's nice. It gets also more up close. Now, the reason I'm saying this is yesterday a family came to two grandparents with their two grandchildren boys. I suppose it's school holidays right now, so they took their grandchildren with them. And before lunch, they offered the dana. Before they offered the dana, they said, "How can you teach our boys about Buddhism?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, but let's maybe we can do the dana and the food first, because we have to finish before 12, the monks. So let's do that first. I'll speak to them afterwards. Now, she was happy with that, of course. And the boys, they had this Batman suits on, you know, I don't know, so like almost like a pajamas with like a hat with these pointy ears and a Batman logo. And while I was eating my lunch, I started thinking, can I teach Buddhism through Batman somehow? You know, you want to make it alive for these kids somehow. So I was like, thinking like, okay, yeah, Batman fights like bad guys who steal, you know, so it's not good to steal. Maybe I should teach that about Batman. That Batman teaches that it's not good to steal stuff and that you have to be kind to people. So I started thinking about Batman and all this stuff while I was eating. I can honestly say that having my lunch, I find always one of the most boring times of my day. I don't care much about eating. I do it because to give me energy and healthy, but I don't really enjoy it all that much. So that's why at that time I sort of start thinking a bit, and I find it much more enjoyable to think about how to teach Buddhism to little boys than to eat. So after lunch, they brought the boys up and I was all prepared to ask about Batman and how it relates to Buddhism. So the boys sit there, a little bit shy at first. I said, you have the Batman suits on. Do you like Batman? And they said, no. We like Pokemon. So yeah, my whole preparation went out of the window. And then I just talked about Pokemon instead. I don't know exactly. Maybe at a later point, they didn't exactly say no that way that I said, but they said, we like Pokemon more. So I had to talk about Pokemon. Well, that is one way that preparing for the future is such a waste of time, often. And you'll have been in similar situations. You plan out this whole thing. And how often does it happen the way you think it will? Usually it doesn't. And if it does, then you probably would have done just as well without thinking about it beforehand. Yeah. Usually things work out plenty fine. So in meditation, we try to move beyond that planning, thinking mind, the one that always tries to be prepared for everything, and just be in the moment as it is and enjoy the moment, to really find peace in the moment and happiness in the moment. And I will teach you one way today to find some happiness in the moment. When I walked in 10 minutes ago, I asked you, who is happy to be here? And everybody was happy to be here. And nobody was unhappy to be here. Or otherwise, maybe they were unhappy, they didn't put their hands up. Venerable was 50% happy, 50% unhappy. How about now? Are you a little bit happier already? Still 50-50? Okay. Well, yeah, your meditation will have to do it. It's not going to be my talk. That's good. And I've been giving a workshop today with Tajin Bramali about the Buddhist text. Some of you have been there. And after the first half of the workshop, a little bit tiring, you know, you talk for 2 hours, have to sit there, answer questions. I like to do it, but it's a bit tiring. And then you have lunch afterwards. You eat, and then I went to sit, meditate in the monks' quarters after lunch. And what happened? I knew, okay, I want to still my mind a bit, not think so much. I'll be a bit better prepared for the rest of the workshop. And what happened? I start falling asleep, of course. Now, sometimes it's perfectly fine to just nod off a bit in meditation. But I remembered something that I have taught last week in the workshop, to find inspiration in something. And if you find inspiration in something, you suddenly become more alive. Isn't that right? And one thing that I find very inspiring is that all of you are here today to find more peace inside. You could have been doing all sorts of things. Yeah, and you could have been, I don't know, there's probably some sort of cricket game going on or something you could have been watching. I don't know what you're into. And people online watching on the YouTube, just on the right on the screen, there's all sorts of things you could click on to watch. But you're watching this because you want to find peace inside. And that's really inspiring to me. And if you use that kind of inspiration as a meditation object, you could say, you can really uplift your mind and find some happiness within. And if you're happy, you become more bright. You also become more in the present, because lots of our thoughts are about the future or maybe the past is because we are not already happy where we are. We want something else. We want to prepare, have something else. That's why we think about the future often. But if you're inspired, happy to be here, you get lots of joy. And you can actually take that feeling of joy and inspiration and make that something to develop in meditation. Yeah. You start with a little bit of inspiration in whatever. But today I will talk about being inspired by other people practicing together. Wow. You're like, oh yeah, it's really nice that everybody's here. Then you start reflecting on that and feeling what it feels like, and you become, wow, it's not just really nice, it's really, really amazing that all these people are here. Wow, I see some of you smiling already. You start understanding what I'm talking about. And then in meditation, you can actually make that your thing, that inspiration, that happiness, and see if you can make that somehow more stable. And at least it will remove some of your tiredness and your restlessness. And this is one way the Buddha also taught. I'm not inventing anything new here. He said, pick up some inspirational thing and find the joy in that. So is it okay if I do a little guided meditation having to do with that in a moment? Yeah? Well, if it's not okay, the doors are over there. But also, you can also do your own meditation while I'm talking. Because often people come here exactly because it is inspiring to be with people. And not so much for the teachings, just to be here together. When I was a layperson, I also meditated in my own home, but also with a group of Buddhists. Every week we came together in one of our homes and we would meditate together there and share Dhamma and other things together. This was in the tradition of Thich Nhat Hanh, and who of you might know, he really set up a really good lay community. They have their specific ways of practicing. We can take an example from that, I believe, over here. But what I realized is often I came to those groups, I got better meditation than I did at home. And the reason was that I already sat down, being happy to be there with all those people, feeling some inspiration, and also just the energy of the group helped as well. So that is the same thing here. And I hope we will you will feel some of that, and that makes some sense to you. Okay, so having given that general introduction, I will now guide you through some meditation. But again, feel happy, be if you feel like to do your own meditation, and then just don't listen to me. Could have done that myself. Okay. when we start meditating, whatever type of meditation we will do, first of all, make sure you're sitting in a comfortable posture. So just bring some awareness to your body and adjust it in whatever way necessary that it is more at ease and more comfortable. Never assume that you have to meditate in the exact posture that you assumed when you just sat down. I am moving a lot myself, actually, so you feel free to do that as well, just to make your body more comfortable. Look at your body, look at it with the mind, I mean, and see what it feels like. Is there anything you can do to make your body more comfortable? Change the angle of your back, maybe. The position of your knees. And whatever feedback you get from your body, don't ignore it. Don't think, I know better than you, body. I know how to sit, you don't. No, actually listen to your body. Once you've got a reasonable posture, feel free to still adjust it, but once you have a decent posture, see if you can relax your body a bit more deeply. Letting go of any unnecessary tension. Letting your muscles become softer. Just being kind to your body. There will be some pains and aches, but don't turn them into an enemy. This is just the way your body is right now. And your job is to take care of it. Be kind to it. Just make friends with your body, whatever it is like. You can keep doing this relaxation of the body if you feel like, or you can return to it later whenever you feel like. But if you want, follow along with me. I'll give a guided meditation on finding inspiration in a group like this. Because once the body is relaxed, we can start relaxing the mind as well. One way to do it is by being happy where we are. And just bring into your awareness the presence of all these lovely people here in this room. Or if you're listening on the internet, other people who are also meditating at this time. You can reflect that it is really inspiring and uplifting that there is other people who are interested in finding peace, being better human beings. It's really amazing, all these people here and other people in the world trying to improve themselves through meditation. People trying to do the right thing, even if sometimes it is difficult. They still decided to sit down and develop their minds to do more right things. And all these people here in the hall, they're really your spiritual friends, your Kalyanamitas. And it's really rare to find such people in the world. Just in your own ways, your own words, find this feeling of inspiration and the joy that comes from that. Maybe you find it also very inspiring that the monks are here and the nuns who were here earlier today as well. All these people here doing their best effort to find peace within. And if you do find some inspiration in that, then really enjoy that feeling of inspiration. See if you can really get into touch with it. Feel what it is like. It might also be helpful to put a little smile on your face. You know, feel more happy as a result as well, and even more inspired. And you should also be inspired that you are sitting down here today. It's really amazing that you made this choice. Whatever level of inspiration you might feel as a result of these reflections, see if you can let it stay. If you can really tune into that feeling. You might even be able to make it grow. And to not just feel inspired, but also joyful because of that. And now you hopefully have a more uplifted and happy mind than at the start. And such a mind is a good springboard into the rest of meditation. I will now soon stop talking, and you can progress meditation on your own. And if you decide to focus on your breath, for example, see if you can take some of that inspiration and joy with you. If you decide to just be in the present moment, it's the same thing. See if you can hold on to some of that positive emotion. And you'll find it becomes easier to focus on the breath when you're happy and joyful. Easier to stay in the moment as well. I'll now let you meditate on your own for about 25 minutes. We are coming close to the end of this meditation together. And by now, maybe your mind have drifted a bit. See if once more you can bring up that joy and happiness of being here. It's that inspiration. Whatever those words mean to you, joy, happiness, uplift. See if you can bring it all up again. See if you can make it stronger. And now ask yourself, how do I feel? Am I more content than before? More awake, less restless, or maybe not? I'll now invite the bell at the end of the third ringing. It's time to open your eyes and come back into this hall. Okay, I hope that was something new for some of you. Maybe something, thank you for the tablet, something to bring you some happiness as well. Now, before I answer questions, I'll expand a little bit upon that concept of finding some joy within and how it can be helpful in meditation. Because I did it myself as well while I was sitting here. Of course, I don't just give the instructions to you. I give them to myself as well, and I do exactly what I'm telling you. Or I try my best anyway. And after I said, now I'll let you meditate on your own, I still had lots of that joy and happiness of just inspiration. And I brought it sort of together with my breathing. And then the breath becomes so much more easy to watch when you're already happy. You're just happy to be there, and the breath becomes much more interesting. Sometimes we start immediately with the breath, or maybe we relax our body first, and then we focus on the breath. And what happens? It's super boring. The breath is nothing special. And I had a question a couple days ago from a meditator. Quite an advanced meditator, but he asked, sometimes I do meditation on the breath and it's just not interesting at all. And then I also told him, you have to make your mind more joyful and make the breath more interesting. And I told him, I had a piece of paper lying there, but I don't have a piece of paper right now, so I'll just use this little napkin or little tissue. And I said, well, this little tissue or the little piece of paper is really boring. There's nothing interesting about it, you know. It's just one like any other. But you can also look at it like, wow, it's really so white, you know, super white, and wow, really soft as well. And wow, how can they make it so square and so even? That is really amazing. And it's the same with your breath in meditation. Sometimes you just look at it differently, makes it interesting. And the way you look at things, what is it again? If you change the way you look at things, the thing you look at changes. And this is why I like to quite often start my meditation just with a little bit of inspiration in whatever I can find. Today I found inspiration in being with all of you. Sometimes I just find inspiration in being a monk or the teachings of the Buddha, Buddha Nusati, for example, or the teachings of the Buddha, or inspiration in my conduct or the conduct of others, generosity. All these things just uplift your mind. And then I don't keep for an hour long contemplating generosity. I just usually bring up some joy. And once I find some joy, then I do my normal meditation. And it's easier because you already have that positive mindset and you start looking at things differently. And in my experience, the present moment becomes more enjoyable. The breath becomes more enjoyable, and it's almost like a little shortcut into meditation. Ajahn Brahms often talks about the beautiful breath in meditation. When you reach that point in meditation where it's just super nice to just be breathing in and out. But it's a little bit of a misnomer in a way, because the breath itself is not beautiful per se. It's the way you look at it that makes it beautiful. And when I was just meditating right here, I was really enjoying my breath because it was just so joyful because I was already joyful. And I hope that some of you have experienced something like that as well. If this meditation was useful to you, just let me know afterwards. I will keep doing this kind of thing. If it was not useful, then you can also tell me and say, I'll just teach more the regular stuff. Just let me know afterwards. Anyway, right now is it time for questions and also maybe also for answers, I don't know. I'll do my best anyway. Let's start with some questions from the hall. We got quite a few online, so if I answer your question a bit briefly, then that is the reason why.
Hello, Ajahn.
Hello.
My mind was all over the place, and my body is feeling pretty crook. So when we talk about happiness, there's not a lot of pleasant feeling happening physically, or the mind's a bit disturbed and agitated, or certainly not settled.
Right.
But it's like happiness not as a pleasant feeling, but happiness and inspiration just to be here with whatever is happening, without the expectation of it having to be joyful.
Right.
So perhaps you could talk about that in some way.
Yeah, well, it's all, if you can just be content with whatever is, even if that is restlessness, then you already find a little bit of peace. The worst kind of restlessness is often the kind of restlessness that wants to change things. It turns into ill will even. like your body is tired and feels hurting, and if then you are like, ah, I should be relaxed, stupid body, be relaxed, then that is the most hurtful part of the meditation. That is the most suffering, trying to change things. And it's not always that you just sit down and everything is immediately peaceful and joyful. And not for me also, sometimes I just have my meditations and it's just like a little bit of a drag almost, you know, it just, things are not coming together. But that is not because you're doing it wrong per se at that point in time. I look at it sometimes like when I was a little boy, I started working in agriculture in the greenhouses in the Netherlands, and I used to work 6 days a week, but only one day of the week was payday. And it doesn't mean that on the other days of the week I was doing a bad job and only on payday I was doing a good job. It just meant that it was payday. Yeah, and it's the same with meditation sometimes. Sometimes it just doesn't work, but it's not because you're doing it wrong, it's just because it's not payday in meditation. Yeah, so it's just you're putting together the foundation every time you're meditating, and then once in a while it'll be much more peaceful than other times, and that is just because you've prepared for it with all those other times. Yeah, and the better you get at it, the more experience you have, the more often it will be move towards more peace. Yeah. Thank you for that question. Any other questions from here? There's one in the back there.
When it comes to being more present with other people, how can you use your breath / your focus just to actually listen to another person, rather than put stuff on other people, what you think they're saying?
Right. What are you saying? Can you rephrase that?
It's more of like, how can you just have less chat in your own mind to actually be present with other people, you know?
Exactly.
You know, and just like actually empathetically listen rather than being somewhere else, you know?
Right.
That's my question.
Good. Well, the reason I asked you to rephrase that question is because I was a little bit not paying attention when you first asked it myself, actually, to be honest, because I was trying to get some drink and I was sort of, I listened, I knew what you were saying, but I wanted to really pay more attention to you. So that is one way to sometimes do it. When you're with people and you notice you're not paying attention, just ask them to say it again and then you can try again. I don't find it particularly helpful to like stay with my breath or something when I'm talking with somebody. But what I do find very helpful is to really be interested in that person, in what they have to say. And when something is interesting to you, you will want to focus on it. And if you think your own thoughts are more interesting than what the other person has to say, then you will likely be focused on your thoughts more than what the person has to say. So one thing you can do is to remind yourself, oh, this person, I can really care for them, and they're really interesting, and I really want to learn about them and hear what they have to say. And that is one way you can do that. Yeah. And it helps also to be generally more still, generally meditate a bit more, then you can more easily control your mind to do whatever you want to do and focus whatever you want to focus on. Yeah. But also don't aim for perfection, especially you talk maybe to lots of people or you talk for a long time, then it's only natural that you'll not be able to be with them 100% all the time. You just do the best you can, you know, and just be good enough. Yeah. That's a nice question. Not per se meditation related per se, but a very good question actually. Maybe something to pick up on in a talk one day. Yeah, when I said before that I used to practice in this tradition of Thich Nhat Hanh, and then we used to do this practice of what did we call it again? Mindful listening. So you sit in a circle and everybody tells you a little bit about what's going on in their life if they feel like it, and then you just sit there and listen and don't judge, and you don't give any reply. You just be there and accept it basically, or yeah, just let them say their thing. That is a nice thing to do, to actually practice it purposefully with people who want to develop the same kind of mindset. Yeah. Okay, I see no more hands here, so I'll do some questions from online. Karen from the Netherlands, that's a beautiful country you're from, asks, Dear Ajahn, I find it difficult to start meditating, but once I have, I really enjoy it. Do you have advice on how to get myself to sit down? Well, I do recognize that to a large extent, because often you sit down to meditate and it's not really nice, you know, it's a little bit unpleasant. And you'd rather not do it. It's almost like once you sit down to meditate, it's like you suffer more in the beginning than if you would not have started meditating, you might have had an easier time. And that's what it feels like to me sometimes. But then I have to remind myself that that is only in the beginning of meditation, often. Sometimes it stays that way, and maybe for you in the back today it was like that, but often it's only like the first 10, 15 minutes, maybe a bit longer or shorter, but it's like it settles. Yeah, the mind and body become more peaceful. And to keep that in mind, that meditation is like an investment. It's not like you want to sit down and immediately be peaceful. That often doesn't work. And often at the end of meditation, I ask people, how do you feel now? And I did that today as well, right? How do you feel now? And I hope that many of you found that you were really peaceful. And I also sometimes ask people just to remember that this is possible in meditation. And don't forget what is possible in meditation. So just to remind yourself that how do you get yourself to sit down is to have some motivation to see what beneficial results can come from sitting a little bit longer. Yeah, sometimes people meditate maybe only 5 minutes or 10 minutes, but sometimes that's not enough to find peace. And so they only are in that time of meditation when it's just feeling more unpleasant than before, than not meditating. So sometimes I encourage people just to go longer than that. Sometimes it takes myself maybe even half an hour or something to get into that zone where it starts becoming really pleasant. So recognizable, but just remind yourself of the possibilities of peace. Dear Sunyo, I never fall asleep when I meditate lying down. Does that mean I am hyper alert, or is that a good thing? Also, how do I stop salivation when meditating, specifically when lying down? Thank you, Kushan. Well, if you never fall asleep lying down, then that might be a good thing. Yeah. Most people will fall asleep lying down, actually. I would sometimes also meditate lying down. And I'm actually pretty good at it as well, but that's only because I practiced it. If you're naturally good at it, then it is really good, actually. Don't worry if you're hyper alert or whatever. Just find peace, yeah? Maybe you're not falling asleep. Sometimes that's because you're still a little bit too restless. But it might also be that you're just alert. I can't really tell if it's good or bad from here, to be honest, but I do think it's generally a good thing. Now, for other people who might want to meditate lying down, is when you do that, it's often helpful to remind yourself beforehand, okay, I'll be meditating now and not sleeping. And maybe Kushang is doing that like naturally. Okay, I'm meditating now, not sleeping, even though it's the same posture. and you have a different mindset, and because of that you'll not fall asleep as easily, because you remember you're not supposed to fall asleep during that time. How do I stop salivation when meditating? I don't think you'll stop salivation. It just keeps going, but stop focusing on the salivation and just let it be natural. Once you start focusing on the saliva in your mouth while meditating, then suddenly you got the urge to control it, and it suddenly becomes a problem. You might even almost be able to do it right now while I'm speaking. Focus on your saliva, and suddenly you're like, what am I going to do with all that saliva in my mouth? But if you just don't focus on it, then it takes care of itself. So just let it go and just focus on your breath and just enjoy being there. Another question. The Buddha says in the suttas that discovering two-way samadhi was very insightful for him. Could you speak on this if you don't mind? Two ways of samadhi. Can't remember. Do you know it? No, I don't think so. Well, to answer your question, could you speak on this? The answer is no, because I don't know what you're referring to. It's probably true that he talks about two-way samadhi somewhere in the suttas. I do probably get what you're getting at now, but probably it's you're talking about the three ways of samadhi. But that is about talking about samadhi which has still movement of the mind, samadhi which has almost no movement of the mind, and samadhi which has zero movement of the mind. And that only becomes relatable when you go develop the jhanas more deeply. So for now, just practice being peaceful, being content, and just finding more peace. And then you're actually practicing all those ways at the same time, to be honest. From Germany, when meditating, I can only lie down. Okay, so not a person lying down, and no problem. Due to chronic pain, that's all right. But how do I generate joy with the pain? And how can I find peace? Just continue to be patient. What am I doing wrong? Well, you're not doing anything wrong, that's for sure. You don't have to be joyful with the pain per se. Maybe find joy in something else. Yeah, right now, I guided people in meditation to be joyful, to meditate together, and people online to realize that there's also other people meditating in the world. And I don't start my guided meditation with, you have pain in your body, please be joyful with that pain in your body right now. It's too difficult, yeah? You can't start there. You have to work up to it. It's like a fire. The Buddha sometimes compared meditation also to a fire. And if you start a little tiny fire, and then you start immediately throwing on the big, wet, sappy logs, then will they burn? No. You have to build the fire gradually. Put on first the small, dry twigs, and then the bigger twigs, and then eventually when the fire is really burning, then you can throw up whatever you like, and it will burn. And it's the same with meditation. If you start trying to be joyful with the pain, it becomes difficult. Yeah. So you just be joyful with something else first. You just joyful. I might have a painful body, but I did find meditation in my life, and I'm able to maybe not sit, but I can at least lie down still, and I can still meditate, and just to find some joy in that first. Then maybe find some other reasons to be happy as well, and you will have them. Everybody has reasons to be happy in life, and especially when you have good conduct. That is what the Buddha kept coming back to. If you behave well, if you keep precepts, then you become happy with that. And then the body can be in pain, but the mind is bright, the mind is happy, because you have been a good person. And you're doing the right things. And you don't have to be perfect, but if you just generally do well, then you'll be happy. And then you can use that happiness to also learn how to deal with the pain as well. Because you have a happy mind, then the body is of less of a burden to you. You can be happy regardless of whether it's hurting or not. And this is really interesting. Sometimes my body hurts as well, and sometimes it has hurt quite a bit in the past, but if my mind is happy, the pain is suddenly feels different. It is not so, how should I say it? You probably recognize that as well.
Not so painful.
Yeah, it's even less painful, because a lot of the pain comes from the way you look at the pain. Yeah. One time I was making a cup of coffee, or no, tea in my, doesn't matter whether it was coffee or tea actually, but I was boiling some water, whatever it was for, in my hut in Bodhinyana. And I poured it into this thermos flask so I could take it inside, because we have this little kettle thing outside and it was raining and stuff. So I just don't want to go outside for every cup of tea. I just took this thermos flask. And what did I do? I tried to open the door, but I did not close the lid of the thermos flask. So it all poured on my hand, that just boiling water, just freshly boiled. Of course, it had burned my hand. So what I did, well, first put it under the water, of course. But after putting it under cold water, it was still hurting. It was quite painful, I think you can imagine. Pouring boiling water on your hand, it's painful. Then I decided, what am I going to do? Well, it wasn't too bad that I needed a doctor or anything. So I decided, I'll meditate on it. That's interesting. I'm a monk. Let me try. So I sit there meditating, feeling that pain. Not nice. Okay, now I'm complaining about the pain. I just feel the pain as it really is. I was already quite happy, so I was able to do that. And I felt the pain as it really was. And it started changing. Wow. And at some point, wow, this is really nice. This feels really great. And I changed my perception of it. And something that was painful suddenly was nice. And this is really weird. And I went later to Ajahn Brahm and told him, the pain felt really like good. And he said, yeah, because you change the way you look at things. And as I said before, the way you look at things, if you change the way you look at things, the thing you look at changes. But if you have chronic pain, that might be difficult to do, so don't expect too much, and you're not doing anything wrong. But be patient, find joy in other things, and you might have some of these experiences as well. And I hope you do, because chronic pain, I imagine, can be quite tiring sometimes. What is the best way to meditate when one has a clogged nose or a stuffed nose? There's only one other way, you know. Yeah, breathe through your mouth, I suppose, unless you can breathe through your skin somehow, like some insects do. Insects breathe through their skin, right? I believe. Yeah. So maybe.
Stop breathing.
Oh yeah. Unless you can stop breathing. So maybe the best way is to be reborn as an insect and then, blow your nose. That's another option. But when it's really clogged, then just make peace with that as well. And that's another thing. Sometimes I have a clogged nose as well, and when I just focus on it, I don't know why this exactly works, but when you just go through your day with a clogged nose and you don't really pay attention to it, it stays. Is clogged nose the right expression, or is it like a, yeah, okay, stuffed nose, clogged nose. And it never goes away. But sometimes when I meditate and I really focus on how clogged my nose is, I don't know why, but sometimes part of my nervous system gets the message, because I just focus on it and I sort of let my body know what's going on. And suddenly while I'm meditating and focusing on the clogness, and suddenly it opens up. So maybe that's one way you can use as well. Sometimes I also do some breathing exercises, but I'm not really trained to teach that kind of thing, so I won't teach it to you, but just make peace with it. And maybe just focus on it and let your body know that you need some more air somehow. And sometimes it just opens up naturally because of that. Okay. I hope that was useful. And I hope you enjoyed today's session. And I want to thank you all for being here, because you were very inspiring to me anyway. So let's pay respects to the Buddha and the Dhamma and the Sangha. Arahant.